Very pleased to welcome to the show now the senior advisor to the president of the Browns, Gil Haskell. Gil, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Always great to have you with us. And Gil, the place I'd like to start as we enter this offseason is how different this offseason is going to be compared to what we had last year with the lockout. This is a very important one, and I know people want to focus on players, current and incoming and all the things that happen in the offseason, but really the focus in the offseason is the coaching staff first and foremost.
Very much so, Vic. What they do now is they go back inside, they look at every game that we played, they put all the plays together on film. In other words, every time we ran a, let's say, X shallow cross route, they put all those together and say we ran it 30 times and we completed 18. You look at it, and the first thing you look at was the blocking good. It's a seven-step drop. Can we do that? Yes. All right. How was the routes? Okay. Well, the tight end's too tight. He's too close. Okay. X receiver. Okay. Take one step up. Then you go flat across. Was it zone or man? Was it read right? You do that on every play. Now you know what you want as a coach. Now the players come back. I think they come back April something. And they come back in, and then you go back out there in the classroom, and then you go on the field and you say, okay, these five plays or 10 passes are going to be our base passes. Last year, this is how we did them. This year, we're doing it better because of this, this, and this.
Because, yeah, there was no opportunity to not only, you know, you talk about reinforce what you did
right
with this group last year and the coaching staff, and you had obviously a new head coach, new defensive coordinator, some new people here and there. You weren't even getting to know who you were working with on both sides, players to coaches, coaches to players. So those introductions were kind of going on into the season. And as much as I know that that was the case with other teams, it wasn't an exclusive problem to the Browns. It did seem to become a bigger problem for the Browns.
You know, there's a lot of ways to look at it, a lot of ways. Last year, you played by the rules. There was no off season last year. Everybody played by the rules exactly the same way. Now we get a bonus this year. We get to practice with the team for maybe 4 months before we ever go to training camp. The coaches have to be on the same page, offensively and defensively, say exactly what they want to do, know it. Then they got to transfer that to the players when they come back here. And then the guys that have done it, that have been on the team, look at it and go, okay, I like that, I like that. And say you were the Z receiver and I'm Josh Cribbs, okay? Well, how many times did he run 22Z and he ran it 10 times? Did he run it exactly at 12 yards and come back to the ball every time? No, only 8 times. Well, why didn't he? Okay, we got to find out why he didn't. Or Massacoy, why didn't he do it? Or maybe we didn't practice that play enough, so none of them knew how to do it. But that's our base play, and we didn't run it right. Now let's get it done right. Or you come back and say, you know what, we didn't run that enough. That was open all the time, and we got to do that more. Because you have another sheet on there, run it more, less, or forget it. There are. You know, that's the column.
And that's the quality assurance you're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly right. And so now the offensive guys know what we've done. Coaches know what we've done. Okay, what are we going to throw away? What are we going to do better? And then, you know, like you said, then we get a couple new players in there, and that helps us to do it better.
The quarterback position, we know, obviously, it could change dramatically. We expect some change, of course, during the offseason, be it from the draft or free agency or both. But right now, Colt McCoy, Seneca Wallace, Thad Lewis on this football team, Colt in particular, as you approach the offseason and look at it specifically for him, what are some of the things going into year two for him as the guy who's been a starter, but year three of his career, that can help, you know, sort of defining things that need to be done to help his game, regardless of whatever his status is
right.
In 2012.
Everybody has, you have an opinion, this guy has an opinion, that guy has an opinion. Number one, we got to protect him better. He got hit a lot. Number two, we got to run the ball better. If we run the ball better, then the guys who are chasing him can't chase him as fast. They got to stop the run first and then go after him. And we sort of saw that in the last three or four games. When Hillis came back and made a couple good runs for us, or at least gave us a little bit of an effort. So now we were a little bit of a different team in those games, okay? But if you have that all the time, then all of a sudden the defense can focus on him and all of a sudden stop the run. Now the quarterback has a better chance. There were games where he got hit 8 and 9 times. Now, that doesn't go because he's a tough guy. He's a young guy. He's trying to make it work. But by the 14th game, the 15th game, the 16th game, he's beat up. No matter who it is, whether it's Colt or anybody, he's beat up. Mike Marks, he's done that forever. I mean, he's got 7-step drops. He wait, they wait, they wait. Down, sack. They lead in sacks. Guy's down, boom. you know, they're out of there.
Right.
Well, you can't play like that. Now, you know, I mean, you just can't. So we've got to protect the quarterback better. We got to run the ball better. And then on the outside, if you drop the ball, not very good deal.
Yeah.
Not very good deal.
Right.
And we got to get some speed. You got to get some speed out there in order to put pressure on the defensive backs to get them off of you.
You talk about Colt getting beat up and facing the pressure that he faced. Some of that was a function, clearly, of having a couple of young people in the middle of that offensive line. By necessity, Jason Pinkston being forced in there because of Eric Steinbach's injury.
Right.
Sean Laval, a young starter at right guard, sandwiching a solid center, of course, in Alex Mack. And then you have Joe Thomas and Tony Pashos. But those two kids, and not to put everything on them, but certainly early on at least, or as before they were developing, they were young and playing young.
Right.
It looked to me by the end of the year they were a little more in a comfort zone and there was a little more trust in them.
You know, you're right. And first of all, we started with two rookies in the offensive line. The two guards are rookies. Laval was there for a year, but he never saw the field. So you're playing with two rookies. And then you need help from the man next to you. Now, Joe and Pinkston did a great job together. Tony did a nice job of helping out Laval, okay? But they got to work together. And honest, they put in a whole season together, all those guys. All five of those guys now put in 16 games.
Right.
They should be remarkably better next year. You know, and you got Joe's young, two rookies, like I said. The center's young, and Tony's young. Tony's only 30.
Sure.
So as you look at it, you say, okay. Now, the fans are listening to me think I'm nuts. Because we did not block very well. You know, there are times when they rushed us, they got after us. But you got to have, on offense, you got to have a deal where you got to make them afraid of the run first, so they got to stop it, and that takes it off those guys. And we block well for the run. I mean, those kids do a nice job, and George does a great job coaching them.
Gil Haskell, senior advisor to Browns president Mike Holmgren, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gil, speaking of young and youth, Greg Little, a rookie receiver,
yes,
went through his share of growing pains. It was kind of interesting because you could watch moments where he looked like a dynamic athlete that a lot of us thought he would be coming out of North Carolina as a second-round pick, and at times looked very much like a guy who had a very limited college career, and that included a suspension that took away some playing time for him, and really entered the NFL as something even less than a rookie in terms of experience.
Right. And you know, you and I talked about that earlier, is that I think he played as a freshman. He might have played as a sophomore, then he got suspended. So he actually only played 2 years of college ball. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I think that's about it. Because when I watch him, I say, you know, he could still be in college, and he's getting better. And he caught 61 balls, like you said. He practiced every day. You got to give it to him. You know, some guys hit the wall. That's all a bunch of bull. When you say the guy hit the wall,
the rookie
12th
wall.
Game wall, this or that. The wall, well, then take the check away. Wait a minute now. I wasn't getting a check in college. I'm getting a check here, so forget the wall, pal. We're still playing. But yes, he had ups and downs. But then you can't put your whole passing game on a rookie. You just can't do that. I mean, if you had an X and a Z out there, a left receiver and a right receiver, and Greg was playing where he's supposed to play, but you had a fifth-year guy and a seventh-year guy that have also always caught 50 to 70 balls, and you say, we got a kid that caught 61 balls. Wow, is that good? Now, he dropped the ball, and so we got to go back and practice that. But there was a guy named Rice for the 49ers in his first year that dropped the ball.
Yeah,
he did drop the ball. I mean, right. Now the next year he never dropped the ball for the next 20. But now will Greg be that way? You know, I don't know. But Greg is a big, strong, good player. He wants to be a good player. He's got a long ways to go. He's got a lot of learning to do. But we hope to get people to help him. He can't do it all by himself.
And one young man who is stepping up and at least out of necessity getting more playing time as the year went on was Jordan Norwood. And
yes,
flashed during training camp and then got his opportunities during the regular season to see the field before he was injured. I kind of liked what he did. I don't know that we're going to see a game changing guy necessarily, but a solid guy to have in your receiving corps.
You know what he did is right from the start, he could catch the ball. when we were practicing in training camp, and he was running, and he's not the biggest guy. We had a kid named Bobby Ingram at Seattle that did a great job, and they're saying, well, he's the same size as Bobby. Then we played the 49ers this year in San Francisco, and they took a picture of Bobby and I together. Bobby was taller than me, and I said, wait a minute. He's a bigger guy than I thought, you know, because everybody's there.
Yeah.
And Jordan's not quite as big, but Jordan is nifty. He's nifty. He's smooth. He's got good hands. And it's a shame that he didn't get to play more. And at the end, he really would have helped us in those last games. When he just started to come to where the quarterbacks were looking for him, then he got the concussion, and then it was over.
Another guy who saw the field quite a bit as a youngster, as a rookie, Jordan Cameron, because of injuries at tight end, Ben Watson and Alex Smith, showed, I think, in moments at least, and athletically, there's something very special there. I mean, he just seems to have that skill, that body control, all the things that maybe you'd want to see in a tight end.
Yeah, he's a very gifted athlete, very gifted. And a funny thing happened. We played the Bears this year. I want to say it was the last preseason game, and he played 42 plays. And so we came back in. You know, we grade the film. We all sit down. How many plays so-and-so have? 42. How many this guy have? 56. How many this guy? Okay. So then we go to talk to him. You know, Steve Hagen goes to talk to him. He says, now, listen, you're playing 42 plays. He says, Coach, the most plays I ever played in high school, SC, was 17. He said, so you got to step back and you got to laugh. You know, he goes, okay, but we're not ready to get to 42 yet.
Right.
I mean, that's how far away we were. You know?
Sure.
But at the same time, he can catch. He can run. He's got a feel for it, too. And in other words, when he's running through the middle and all that, he can avoid a guy. He doesn't have to run into the Mike linebacker, then run into the strong safety, and then come open. He can avoid those two guys on the way. So he's got a big upside.
And that's because of his instincts, his athleticism.
Yeah. And he was a very good basketball player.
Right.
He was.
Now, on the defensive side, the best story there was the play of the defensive line. In particular, Jabal Sheard, as a rookie, 8.5 sacks. Really showed something that I guess we expected, but when you're throwing a rookie as a starter, and Phil Taylor was that other starting rookie on the D-line, but to have one of them have a pretty exceptional year is a little bit of a surprise.
That's great. It's great. You know, I've been on – actually, of all the years I've coached, I was with Coach Robinson for 9. I was with Mike for 13. I don't know if we ever took a defensive lineman first ever. I know at the Rams we didn't, and I'm not sure Mike ever did. And so you don't get them. You don't get those guys.
Yeah.
They're always on somebody else's team. You say, I wish we had that guy. Well, in the meanwhile, you got Dickerson or you got Henry Ellard or you got Brett Favre. You got all those guys on offense.
Yeah.
You don't have them on defense. And so we were really pretty good this year with the defensive line, the four guys in there. And then, they're going to get better, too. You know, the three guys inside, the three inside guys, are young, very, very good players, and they will get better. And you need 8. Now, you know, the old general managers and all those people think I'm out of my mind.
To rotate.
Yeah, you got to rotate. The 49ers, when we used to play them, you know, and that's when Pee Wee was playing. But the best four were saved for the fourth quarter. In other words, they'd start the game. Second quarter, third quarter, there were 6 and 7 guys going in there. Now you get down to the last two drives. All their good guys were there. Michael Carter, you know, he'd spit on the ball before the quarterback. This guy snapped it to the quarterback. I mean, it was a mess.
Right.
Oh, they had guys you never even heard of. You know, I can picture them. I forget their names. But anyway, but in the last two drives, they were fresh. They hadn't been in there for 70 plays.
And your Pee Wee reference, of course, Dwayne Board, the defensive line coach for the Browns. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and we'll catch up again later in the offseason.
Anytime. Thank you.
Gil Haskell, senior advisor to Browns president Mike Holmgren, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.